Despite its initially disparate nature, the 18th Legion developed a very unique character in its formative years. Blooded in a manner unheard of by their fellow Astartes, in the Stygian depths of the Tempest Galleries, the 18th's first extrasolar excursions forced them to operate in an irregular fashion, often as the only Astartes in their theater. The fragmentation of the Legion amongst a large range of Imperial, Mechanicum, and Rogue Trader expeditions drove them into a pattern of interdiction encounters, a sort of first response Legion for surprise conflicts that arose behind Imperial lines. This role had a tangible impact on both the Legion's material preferences and its tactical disposition. Because of its extant and unplanned role within the Great Crusade, the Legion that had followed the Principia Bellicosa to the letter on Terra developed a distinct preference for the company-sized detachment, with larger command structures, like the battalion or chapter, rendered largely unnecessary in light of both the role the 18th came to hold and its size, which was still far under that of its brother legions, thanks to unification war losses. Legion High Command was relegated to the task of overseers, deploying or rerouting reserves where possible across as many war zones, campaigns, and brushfire conflicts as possible. The natures of these conflicts in turn affected the 18th on a tactical level. Often forced to fight in close quarters, last-ditch defenses, the Legion came to favor the widespread use of short-range special and support weaponry. The preference was a mixture of expedience as well as temperament, as it was becoming apparent to those within and without that the 18th displayed a genetic predilection for the manufacture and care of advanced wargear in the field, often under logistical situations that would rule the use of such technology impracticable for another Legion. Upon his assumption of the role of Legion commander, the Primarch Vulcan sought to preserve the spirit of self-sacrifice and nobility the Legion had developed, but temper it to preserve it from further likely hubris-related losses. Beginning with the command cadres, Vulcan's reforms drastically overhauled the Legion's senior staff, replacing the guidelines of the Principia Bellicosa with a fusion of Nocturian traditions and practices collectively referred to as the Promethean cult. Though Imperial Remembrancers and iterators of the Imperial Truth may have been alarmed at the supernatural implications of the word, the cult itself was nothing religious. Instead, it served to bind the Salamanders to their new homeworld and reinvigorate a Legion once on the verge of extinction. Vulcan created the Seven Realms of Nocturne, assigning to each a Lord Commander, and to each Lord Commander a battle company, which were composed of multiple line companies of around 120 Astartes each. Humility of station was one of the guiding tenets of the Promethean cult, and the commanders of the Legion were paragons of a studied but genuine lack of formality. Speech between Astartes of any rank was easy, with none of the hierarchical stringency of the 3rd or 13th Legions, and without the need for the secretive warrior lodges that spread outwards from the 16th and 17th Legions. Each realm of Nocturne would be the source from whence the battle company would draw its initiates, forging a deep bond between the Legion's soldiers and the humans of their new homeworld, and having the added effect of creating bonds of kinship between individual Astartes themselves, as initiates would often be boys who grew up together and would mature into Legion service at each other's side. The drawback of this approach, and of Vulcan's refusal to either utilize the rapid induction techniques of other Legions, excepting Terra and Proximal, the latter being a garrison world of the 18th, meant that the Legion grew slowly and would always grow slowly. The stupendous genetic stability of Nocturne's colonists did, however, prove perfect for Legion recruitment, with rates of implant rejection lower than almost any other Legion. While the village and city-bound nature of recruitment could have potentially opened the Salamanders up to a host of traditional or ancestral grudges and feuds, and the possibility for violence that lay therein, Vulcan wove into the Promethean cult a spirit of healthy competition, encouraging any quarrels to be resolved through feats of strength, endurance, arms, or artisanship. This, coupled with the Legion's small size and already well-honed sense of steadfast honor, led to the creation, in the years after Vulcan's reforms, of a uniquely tight-knit force of arms. In warfare, the Primarch put an end to the forlorn last stands that had defined the 18th Legion's role in the Great Crusade up until his rediscovery. The Salamanders would no longer be driven to near-suicidal defenses, but rather temper their spirit of self-sacrifice with a more pragmatic tactical nature instilled into them by Vulcan. Rather than radically overhaul what he saw as an inherently noble means of war-making, the Primarch instead redefined it somewhat, transforming his Legion into one with an asymmetrical style of warfare that nevertheless retained the tenacity the 18th was known for. Devastating close-range firefights were where the Legion excelled, both on planetary theaters and in tighter space-based Zone Mortalis operations. The new discipline Vulcan trained into his Astartes was augmented by the artisanship of his Legion. Ever known for their skill as craftsmen of arms and armor, under their blacksmith progenitor, the Salamanders would take this to new heights. Each legionary was encouraged to develop his artisan skills and work upon his own armaments, sometimes to the ire of the Mechanicum, but the results spoke for themselves. Unlike the blunt field modifications of the 4th or 10th Legions, the Salamanders paid attention to artistry, and their weapons were triumph of both form and function. In practical terms, this effected a boost in the efficiency and lethality of the special weapon support squads of the Legion, who favored close-range flame projection, Melta, and Vulkite weaponry. Additionally, the well-crafted and well-maintained suits of Terminator armor the Legion possessed further enhanced its capabilities for close-quarter encounters. The skill at craft the Salamanders effaced led to the development of two unique formations within the Legion itself, Pyroclasts and the Fire Drakes. The former took the Legion's tactical propensities to a master degree, armed with potent and experimental frame projectors that could be used in both an anti-infantry and an anti-armor role. The tactical flexibility this offered, as well as the short range of their prototype weapons, often had the pyroclast formations fighting in the very thickest combat of the battlefield, a task which, by all accounts, these Astartes relished, and would often be following a breach in the enemy lines made by the Legion's Firedrake Terminator Elite. Each warrior in this formation was drawn from the ranks of the Legion not by seniority, but by martial prowess and his ability to embody the virtues of the Promethean cult. These Astartes would heavily modify their own Terminator armor and be tasked to embody the purest form of the Legion's values. Serving as shock troops for the Salamander's vanguard, the Paragons of the Firedrakes were both a valuable force at arms to be deployed, but also serve as exemplars for their fellow Astartes to aspire to. In certain situations, they would be tasked with the protection of Legion command figures, but the honor of being Praetorian to the Primarch fell to the Salamander's Pyre Guard. Less a concrete formation and more of a duty, the Pyre Guard were formed of 7 ranking Astartes within the Legion, all of whom were Terran-born. Chosen during the reforms of the Primarch himself, they served not only as Vulcan's bodyguard, but as advisors, forming a vital link between the earthy pragmatism of their Primarch and the staunch, tenacious nature of the Terran veterans of the 18th. It should be noted that despite their Terran origin, each member of the Pyre Guard was a perfect embodiment of the character and creed of their new homeworld, serving as true champions of the Promethean cult. In addition to their wide array of support and heavy weapons, the Salamanders maintained an array of armored vehicles more plentiful in both role and numerical amount than any legion of its size. Owing to its tactical penchants, this was biased in favor of tanks of medium and super-heavy disposition, armored rams, transport flyers, and heavy gunships, as well as mobile support platforms. The reforms of Vulcan had steered the Legion away from attritional warfare, so the Salamanders possessed a smaller number of static artillery pieces, and their survivability over speed-based strategies left little room for fast-attack skimmers. Legion command, however, ensured that detachments did not lack for either of these should the combat situation demand it. The Legion's void-faring fleet was, like itself, small, but devastatingly well-equipped, with many of their battleships able to hold their own against vessels of larger tonnage or class than they themselves. It should be noted that, given the Primarch's disdain for attritional warfare, but the resilient nature of the 18th Astartes, led to the development of no small amount of acrimony between the Salamanders and their cousins in the 14th Legion, Death Guard. Both legions operated in comparatively similar theaters with comparatively similar styles, but whereas the purifying fire of the Salamanders would scour a non-compliant world of an enemy and sow the seeds of a fresh human dominion, the atomic and chemical weaponry of the Death Guard left only blasted, irradiated wastelands. This, coupled with his brother Mortarion's oft-perceived disregard for both the lives of his own men and those of the wider Imperium citizenry, led to Vulcan routinely diverting 18th Legion assets away from theaters where the 14th were present, unless tactical expediency demanded it. And the animosity this bred only deepened as time passed. At the time of its involvement in the Istvan atrocity, the Salamanders, as an almost total Legion force, had been pursuing a campaign against Xenos holdouts near the Galactic Core, positioning them, whether through sheer bad luck or the malign machinations of Horus Lupercal, to be ideally placed to answer Rogel Dorn's summons to serve in the prosecution fleet of 7 legions, formed to bring Horus to justice. While the exact numbers of the Legion's disposition were not possible to obtain for this record, it is believed that the total strength of the 18th numbered around 89,000, placing them in the bottom tier of legions, numerically speaking, and out of this number, 83,000 were dispatched to Istvan V. Losses of this force, whose fate will be detailed in a later and terrible record, were estimated to have been near total, as high as 98%. The survivors, however, and their legion brothers who were not present at the atrocity, emerged from this most hellish of all cataclysms, possessed of volcanic rage at the injustice meted out upon them, a testament, if any were ever needed, to the Salamander's superhuman resilience of character. For the remainder of the heresy, their actions would be small in scale, but often peerlessly heroic, and would prove to be a bloody and intractable thorn in the side of the traitor forces.